Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to Off in the S's, a podcast focusing on the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. I'm your host, Stu, and on today's show... The 12 Hours of Sebring is the second race on the IMSA calendar, and also the second longest race of the season. Taking place at the Sebring International Raceway in Sebring, Florida, it is often referred to as the birthplace of American endurance racing. After all, it is North America's oldest permanent road racing facility, established in 1950, and the 3.74-mile circuit is what was on originally Hendricks Field, a U.S. state's Army Air Force base. Settled between the orange groves and cattle ranches of Central Florida, though, this racetrack has served as the host of this legendary 12-hour endurance race since 1952 and is now part of the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. Perhaps the most iconic part of Sebring, though, is its infamous bumps. The front straight features the original concrete poured in 1941 for the Hendricks Field military base. And as you navigate the rest of the track, you're going to find other patches of this old concrete as well as newer asphalt portions of the track. The various different surfaces have become very rough and bumpy over the years, which gives Sebring its reputation as one of the roughest tracks in the world and is a true test of car and driver ability. Now, heading into this year's 12 Hours of Sebring, there are a number of storylines that you'll want to know about. In GTP, can Porsche stay perfect with their 963 in 2024? They've already won the season opener for both IMSA and the WEC, and they're going to look to continue that strong run into Sebring. Meanwhile, in LMP2, we saw an incredible battle between the number 18 Era Motorsports LMP2 and the 04 CrowdStrike Racing entry, which ultimately culminated in Connor Zilich and Era Motorsports breaking through for the Rolex 24-hour win. Connor, who ran his first race in the WeatherTech Championship back at Daytona, will be running his second race in the championship here at Sebring, and he looks to go 2-for-2 in his young IMSA career. In GTD, I'm sure we'll see some incredible battles out on track, but the real question mark here is around reliability and some of the issues we saw at Daytona. Many new and old cars had issues, and with Sebring being as rough as it is, it's sure to magnify some of them. So I think that will be something key to watch for in this year's race. And in GTD, those same reliability concerns remain. But here, I think the class is just incredibly wide open. Last year, with a 20-car grid, we saw 8 different cars lead the race. And I'm factoring out entries that led for, you know, just one lap at the end of a pit cycle or something like that. So you're looking at 8 of the 20 entries last year leading at least a good handful of laps in the race. I think this year, with 22 cars on the grid and a pretty much wide open field, it's going to be very difficult to pick a winner. Now, in past seasons at Sebring, the WEC has also been present for their season opening race. And as a result of this Super Sebring weekend, many of the IMSA support series didn't get an opportunity to travel to Sebring with the main championship. This year will be different, though, with the WEC no longer going to Sebring. It opens up the opportunity for IMSA to bring many of their support series, starting off with the Michelin Pilot Challenge. Fresh off their 4-hour season opener at Daytona, the Michelin Pilot Challenge storms into Sebring for round 2 of their season. We'll see a healthy grid of 39 entries in that class, including 27 in the GS class. There, the number 91 Kelly Moss with Riley Porsche is leading the points after picking up the win at Daytona. Meanwhile, in TCR, it will see 12 entries on the grid, including a new entry from Starcom Racing. That will be the number 12 Hyundai that's driven by Nick Tucker and Andy Lally. Everyone in that class will be chasing the number 17 JDC Miller Motorsports Audi, who overcame a difficult weekend where they were scrambling to find replacement parts for that car, but ultimately saw them pick up the class win. The Porsche Carrera Cup North America will bring a series record 41 entries to this year's race. They'll be running 2 races over the course of the weekend, and notably, this will be the first season that they're running on Yokohama tires after previously racing on Michelins. This will also be the season opener for the Lamborghini Super Trofeo series and their 2 races. They will also feature a very healthy grid with a series record 37 entries expected for this weekend. Finally, there's the Whelen Mazda MX-5 Cup, who return to Sebring for the first time since 2021. Looking back to those 2021 races, we saw some pretty incredible finishes, and this year 30 entries taking to the track will look to replicate some of the action that we saw a couple years ago. Gresham Wagner, who's fresh off a race one victory at Daytona is tied for the points lead there with Daytona double podium finisher Jeremy Fletcher. All right, time for the fun stuff. Let's talk some BOP. Just wanted to note for the numbers that I'm going to give you right now, I'm comparing them to their BOP from this race last year. If it's a brand new car, I will note that and compare it to their BOP from Daytona. But just keep in mind, this is comparing the BOP from where it was this race last year. In GTP, accuracy is a slight weight increase to go along with a power and stint energy reduction. This stint energy reduction can also be seen for the BMW, who also shed 10 kilograms of weight from where they were last year. The Cadillac has put on some weight from where they were last year, 22 kilograms to be exact, but they also gain a 7 kilowatt power increase and a 13 megajoule stint energy increase. Lamborghini is, of course, new to the class. Have to monitor them to see how their performance gets on. And then there's Porsche. They're 1 kilogram heavier than they were last year, but like Acura and BMW, they see a maximum power and a maximum stint energy decrease from last year. Heading into the GT ranks, Acura puts on 30 kilograms of weight with a slight fuel capacity change. Aston Martin stays the same weight, just with a slightly reduced fuel capacity from where they were at Daytona. BMW sees a 10 kilogram weight increase. Another one of the cars that didn't compete here last year, the brand new Corvette, is 10 kilograms heavier than it was at the Rolex with a slight reduction in fuel capacity. Ferrari sees very little change from where they were in this race last year, no weight change and a slight fuel capacity decrease. Ford will be 15 kilograms lighter than they were at Daytona, but they will see a slight increase in fuel. Lamborghini, one of the notables here, they're 50 kilograms heavier from where they were in this race last year. They will see a 2 millimeter increase in their restrictor diameter, which should translate to more power, and their fuel capacity stays about the same. Lexus also gets a little bit heavier and also has a healthy restrictor diameter increase. Again, should translate to some more power. And they also gain 3 liters of fuel capacity. The McLaren is 25 kilograms heavier than when it was for this race last year, and they are also boasting 5 liters more in fuel capacity. Very little change for their Mercedes. They just gain a bit of fuel capacity. And then there's the Porsche. They will be 20 kilograms heavier, feature a 1.5 millimeter larger restrictor diameter, but will be able to carry 3 liters less fuel. This year, for the 72nd edition of the 12 Hours of Sebring, we will see 58 entries take to the track. They're going to be spread across 4 classes, including 11 in GTP, an increase of 3 from last year, 13 in LMP2, an increase of 5, 12 entries in GTD Pro, an increase of 4, and 22 cars in the GTD class, which is an increase of 2 from last year. 322 laps were turned by the victorious 31 Action Express Racing Cadillac of Pipo Durrani, Alexander Sims, and Jack Aitken in 2023. The other 2023 class winners included the number 8 Tower Motorsports LMP2, while in GTD Pro it was the number 9 Pfaff Motorsports Porsche, and finally, in GTD, it was the number 1 Paul Miller Racing BMW. Now, Sebring is a fairly quick, albeit bumpy track with lap times for these classes ranging around the mid-140s for the GTP class down to about the 2-minute mark for the GTDs. As well, there are some fairly good passing opportunities here, such as into Turn 3, Turn 7, and Turn 10, as well as down the long Oman Straight, which leads into the infamously extremely bumpy turn number 17, which is also referred to as Sunset. In a race this long at a track this rough, it is going to be critical for these cars to stay running on track, as equipment failures and those iconic Sebring bumps will chew a car up and spit it out if you're not careful. While officially flat, the 3.7-mile circuit does feature 18 feet of vertical wheel travel per lap. That's a lot of bumps. And in addition to the bumps, another key thing that will come into play here at Sebring is the darkness. Unlike at Daytona, where there's stadium lighting around much of the track, Sebring has very limited track lighting. And being skilled at driving in those nighttime conditions will be key at the end of this race. Luckily for the drivers, though, they will be on the right side of daylight savings time, and they'll get an extra hour of sunlight to be able to navigate this track. Speaking of sunlight, the weather forecast looks pretty darn good for this weekend. Very little chance of rain and temperatures remaining fairly consistent throughout the weekend. It will get gradually warmer though, with a Thursday high of about 88 degrees Fahrenheit or 31 degrees Celsius, and steadily increasing to race day that will see a high of 92 Fahrenheit or 33 Celsius. Cadillac has been very strong at Sebring in recent years, winning 4 of the last 5 races, and when it comes to making my picks in GTP, I have to stick with them. I'm going for back-to-backs for the number 31 Action Express Racing Cadillac, who features an incredible Sebring driver in Pipo Durrani, and who are also coming off the great momentum that they had at Daytona, coming up just shy of that race win. LMP2 is by far the hardest class to pick a winner from. So many good cars, but here I'm picking the number 8 Tower Motorsports entry. They won here last year, and I think they're going back-to-back. For GTD Pro, I mentioned earlier the reliability issues that I think are going to hover over this class for the race, but I'm also thinking that the sole McLaren in the field last year looked really strong. But I'm going to put my Pfaff homerism aside here, and I'm going to go with the number 14 Vassar Sullivan Lexus. They had uncharacteristic reliability issues and also just some plain bad luck at the Rolex, but I think they can rebound and build off of their strong run they had in this race last year to take the GTD Pro win. As for GTD, I just mentioned them. I think McLaren is due. They debuted the McLaren 720S GT3 Evo here last year and had a nice run with Inception Racing, finishing an impressive 4th place. I think Inception comes back stronger than last year, and they break through with a huge Sebring win. Alright, let's take a look at the point standings presented by P1 Web Development. If you're looking for a custom website, then head to p1webdevelopment.com/the S's or click the link in the description. Starting off with GTP, it's of course the number 7 Porsche Penske Motorsports entry that leads by 25 points over the number 31 Cadillac. In LMP2, it's the number 18 Era Motorsports entry that leads by 20 points over the 04 CrowdStrike Racing entry. In GTD Pro, it's number 62 Risi Competizione Ferrari, who has a 21-point lead over the number 77 AO Racing Porsche. And in GTD, it's number 57 Windward Racing Mercedes, who leads a trio of Ferraris, the top one being the number 21 AF Corsa Ferrari, who are 24 points off the lead. As I mentioned at the top of the show, there are a ton of IMSA Sport Series that are present at Sebring this weekend. The race weekend kicks off on Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time with the Wheelin Mazda MX-5 Cup. You can catch them on IMSA TV. That's followed up at 4:50 for race 1 of the Porsche Carrera Cup North America. You can find that race on IMSA TV or Peacock. At 5:50, race 1 for the Lamborghini Super Trofeo Series is also going to be available for you on IMSA TV and Peacock. Flipping the schedule over to Friday now, and there we'll find an 11:10 a.m. start for the final race of the weekend for the Mazda MX-5 Cup Series. You can catch that on IMSA TV. They'll be followed by the WeatherTech Championship at 12:15 for their qualifying session. You can catch that on IMSA TV or Peacock. Following that up at 3:10 p.m. Eastern Time will be the Alan J. Automotive 120 for the IMSA Michelin Pilot Challenge Series. You can catch that race on IMSA TV and Peacock. We're going to get some early evening support series races here, as at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, the Lamborghini Super Trofeo Series will head out for race 2 of their weekend. You can catch that on IMSA TV and Peacock. And to round out the day at 7:10 p.m. Eastern Time, it's the Porsche Carrera Cup North America. That race can also be found on IMSA TV and Peacock. Saturday is the big race day, though, and starting at 9:30 Eastern Time, you can catch the Mobile 1 12 Hours of Sebring in its entirety on IMSA TV and Peacock, with also the second half of the race also being broadcast on USA Network. I'll also be hosting a watch-along right here on YouTube for the first and last 3 hours of the race. I'll be getting kicked off about 15 minutes before the drop of the green flag on Saturday morning. So if you want to watch along and chat some IMSA, then I look forward to seeing you there. That's going to wrap this one up, though. Before you go, make sure that you're subscribed on your favorite podcasting app so you never miss an episode. You can also follow along with the show on X or on YouTube. Just search for Off in the S's. A big shout out to all the Patreon supporters. If you too want to support the show, then you can head to patreon.com/offintheesses. Once again, though, thanks for tuning in. I hope everyone has a great race weekend and doesn't go off in the S's.